Welcome to A Woman's Brew, where women talk about beer. In today's episode, we're getting crafty with craft as we talk to Karis from Craft Beer Rings. I'm Joanne and this is Tori.
Hello, hello.
And we're two beer-loving women on a mission to get more people drinking and talking about great beer. Come join us.
Hello, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Today, we've got a very special guest that I've had the pleasure of running into on several occasions across beer festivals and local tap rooms to me, Karis. Do you want to introduce yourself and your business? And then we'll get into talking about the beers we're drinking, because we started doing that before we hit record.
Well, thank you for having me on. I'm Karis, and I'm the owner of Craft Beer Rings. I make jewellery from upcycled beer cans.
I'm wearing my bracelet today. I'm wearing one of my bracelets.
I've got my earrings in that I bought at Elusive.
Yeah. Oh, Elusive heavy today.
I've got another one on the side yeah. as well. That's that one I haven't taken off of that yet, because I was like, I wear this one and I was like, oh, don't want to lose that one. Kept it to the side.
One of the most popular ones. They get snapped up quickly, the day ones.
I love it. Yeah, for anyone that's not, I should probably describe it. For anyone that's not watching the video, it is it's a steady rolling, isn't it?
Yes.
Because it's the guitar, like a little snippet of the guitar from the Steady Rolling Man on a little circle on the bracelet. So that is one that I was just like, oh, I just want to keep that and display it. So I have it in the cabinet. I have it in a glass cabinet behind me. Cool. When it comes to, we just were talking before we hit record and I was like, actually, let's record this. We were just talking about the beers we were drinking. Shall we go through the beers we're drinking and why? We didn't get to hear yours pre-recording, so why don't you go first?
Yeah.
I'm terribly boring, I'm afraid. Because I'm feeling a bit coldy, I just came on with a glass of water because we haven't got any AFs in the fridge at the moment.
Oh no.
That's equally fine.
Yeah.
Joe, yours is particularly.
Yeah, so I went through the fridge and I was like, do you know what? I need to pick some pretty cans for tonight, like things that I felt like could be turned into jewellery. So I've got a smoogie pumpkin s'mores beer, but it's got the pumpkin-y bits and a bit that looks like s'mores, but it's also got some nice stars on it, which I thought that they're small, so I thought they might work. But we'll find out what your process is as we discuss.
I'm already having thinks straight away about how people think cans, because I'm still totally drawn to beers for how pretty the can is.
Absolutely.
We are.
I'm a label magpie.
Beer doesn't really taste like pumpkin s'mores, though. It tastes a bit more like lilt. But, you know, it's still tasty.
It's also tasty.
It's tasty, just different kind of tasty, isn't it? I mean, I went with the Elusive Brewing and Baker's Dozen Collab of Portents of Doom, which is a New Zealand black IPA, and I'm drinking out my Elusive glass. And I will say that I'm having it because I feel like the majority of the times that we've had a conversation, it's been either in the capacity of I was at a beer festival helping out Elusive, or you were down at the tap room. So it just felt like bring it full circle and have an Elusive beer out of my Elusive glass. I should have worn my Elusive shirt, but I did not.
I nearly wore mine today, you know.
I thought it might be too much and I didn't want to I didn't want to go all in on that, so I wore something different.
One of the visuals that I brought along to show is actually Elusive related as well. I think I just can't get away from it.
Amazing. That's it. I mean, I knew in somewhere in the back of my head, I knew that was going to be the thing. So I went with it. I want to have a sip of this because I haven't actually had a sip of mine first. So, well, to stop me from talking and getting you talking, do you want to talk us through sort of your origin story of what did you do in your past life and kind of where did that take you to where we are now?
So I started Beer Rings nearly 5 years ago now, and it's come a really, really long way. It started off as a bit of a creative outlet when I left a job at my local council, but I've always been linked to recycling. My family have called me a bin diver for years and years because even before kind of common recycling was a thing, I was like, you can recycle this, we can reuse that. So always been a recycling geek. Kind of when I came out of this work, I just needed something to do. And it was around the same time we started drinking craft beer. And straight away, I was like, I want to try that one because it's got a pretty label. So regardless of the contents, I learned along the way. But as we all know, the cans are so gorgeous. My local taproom, bottle shop in Colchester, I initially went in. It's called Two Brews, if you've ever been up this way. I initially went in around Easter, so probably 6 years ago, going, have you got anything with a rabbit on it? Because I want to get something as an Easter present for my husband. And he's like, what are you chatting about? But now, I mean, you could get so many rabbit-related, Easter-related. So that's kind of how it started. And strangely, the same taproom, bottle shop, keep saying the wrong one. When I started making my beerings, I went in to him, total male, but when he looked at him, I'm like, this is awesome, this is cool. So it gave me the confidence straight away to go, I think I'm onto something if men like it as well. And just started straight away at a few craft fairs, carried on just pootling along like that, realised quite quickly that I had kind of three types of demographic, either jewellery lovers, eco-minded people, or beer lovers, and sometimes all three, which is always really nice. And it wasn't until a year and a half ago when someone I'd met on the craft circuit, completely unrelated to beer, said, you should try the Christmas London Beer Festival. I'm like, oh, I'm not good enough for that. No way. Went for it, did it, and it was an absolute blast. And since then, Beerings has just grown massively. I've got in touch with more brewers, more people in the industry, and it's been amazing. Which, yeah, so that's sped us up to about where we are now.
You mentioned about, you know, kind of started around when you started, you know, 5 years ago getting into craft beer. What would you say is the beer that got you into craft beer?
Gosh.
It doesn't have to be the first one you had, but like, what is the most memorable in your mind that you were like, that was the one that sticks out to me in early days of drinking?
I always thought beer was just quite, kind of, I'd been to a few camera style beer festivals and like, oh, I'll try it. But I've always liked the flavours, either really fruity, and I've never really had a stout apart from Guinness and thought, yeah. And so it might even be like one of the Stay Puffed Tiny Rebel ones, like really, really, really flavoured. And then kind of I got kind of pushed away from that. So the one that really stuck out, I think, was a Bahala, really strong stout, and still absolutely love them, but because they're mainly bottled, I don't have as many of them now.
Brilliant. I love that we've got you on today because, you know, yeah, we talk about beer all the time, but yours is what you do, like, covers so many different types of people as well. And it's nice to be able to talk to a female business owner and something that crosses over into what we all love, and just finding out how you take what we love and put it into what you do. So what is your process for making a piece of jewellery?
So initially we were just using what we had and kind of making use of little details. And some of the ones I've got in are actually, I know not everyone will see if they're listening, but they're a gooseberry ghost. It's about 5 years ago, so I can't remember the brewery or anything like that. So it's just pieces, but I liked the look of, and now almost have a bin pile straight away, because even though it's a great beer and it's a great can, but it might not be very transferable. So yeah. I've put a few show and tells, but I'll describe it as well. So if a can I know I'm going to really like, I'll rinse it out as you do, cut it and flatten it, but have to be really careful not to dink it, because this one I dinked quite badly and it's going to lose so much of the pattern. On the other side, and like I said, an elusive, this is a collab with another local brewery, Radio City in Chelmsford, who we love. It's their Collabageddon from 2 years ago now. And this one's been so popular because there's so many little details within the can. So yeah, when I cut it, flattened it, I usually do lots of cutting, lots of flattening, and then cut the shapes out. and I now store them and label them. So especially at the beer festivals, I like playing kind of guess the brewery. And something like the Dea bracelet that you had, loads of people will pick it out really quickly. But I tried to be a lot more organised now because I know people are going to ask, and they love that. So then after that, I kind of do a few bits and soften off any sharp edges, because obviously no one wants to be cut by their jewellery. And then start mounting them onto fittings. And then I use my business card to mount them onto. So that's a finished pair. And write the brewery on the back as well, so that even if people are absolutely not interested in craft beer at all, this has been a bit of a game changer. People just love knowing where they're from. Yeah. And it's got a lot of, I find it's got a lot of people going and finding out about these breweries, because like, I had no idea the cans were so pretty. So loads of people have gone to try and find that can to give it as a gift. So I like that in my own little way, I'm kind of spreading the beer word. Obviously these are a lot by a book by its cover, but I try and remember what the beer was as well. My husband's so much better at that. But try and remember when we had the beer, where we got it from, and yes, tell a bigger story.
I love that so much as well. So like, do you exclusively, like the ones that you make the jewelry out of, is that exclusively ones that you have got for yourself, and then you've got to really like the label and want to keep it? Or have you ever considered going to a brewery to be like, when you have, because obviously it's, you know, a lot of it is about being sort of environmentally friendly, recycling, all that. Have you ever thought about going to a local bottle shop or going to a local tap room or whatever and saying, if you're getting rid of these cans, like, I will take them off your hands?
It can be a little bit hard just because so many of the bottle shops are just really small and don't have much storage space. If I'm in there drinking of an evening, then I have been known to go around strangers' tables and go, oh, you're done with that? And scoop it off their table, which usually starts a conversation.
Yeah.
But when we've been to tap rooms on some of our beer tourism, we've been swiping them. Sometimes the staff are a bit like, oh, what are you doing? But it starts a brilliant conversation. We're like, whoa, here, have some more. But occasionally, or it's getting more common now that I've started to get better contacts with the breweries, is sometimes I am going to them exclusively and saying, what would you like to see out of your cans? So sometimes I am getting the can directly from them. Ideally, I'd want it if they've got a tap room and can send me the empties. But occasionally it is coming never filled and straight to me. But any bits that I have now, because I used to work in the recycling industry, I know I can't just put the slithers of cans away. So I kind of pack them all at home and make sure any leftovers are recycled still. So it's still, I try and keep it as environmentally friendly as possible across the whole process.
That is just like, I love the fact that you're like, I've gone places and I've been, it's amazing, like in a business conversation wise, to just be like, are you done with that? Can I have that? And then explaining why. Amazing. And I feel like it validates all the times that I not necessarily have taken other people's cans home, but like I've definitely been out and about places and either looked for, I've things I have done, asked for blue roll, asked for any paper, asked for things so I could take the label off, because I want to make sure that the can gets recycled properly. And if I'm away from home, it can be a lot harder, but I want the label because label magpie. So I will ask if I can have a piece of paper or something to stick it on if I have nothing else, or even like a tissue that I have, not a used tissue, but like a clean tissue from a pack of tissues in my bag. And I'm like, I'll do that. And the looks that you get for doing that is sometimes just insane. But also, I have been known to go to my local shop, which is The Hive, and I'll be like, can I have a bag to take these cans home? Because I just am like, I don't have anything on me to put them away. I'm a 25-30 minute walk home. Can I just have a bag to take them? So it makes me feel so good that somebody else has gone through that process of being like, can I have that can, please?
The worst one I had was Brew London last year, because I'd gone on the trade session to chat to people. And a few people had given me full cans to take back and go and see what you can do with that. Absolutely brilliant. But so many of them were empties. And I'd taken a few tote bags in my kind of handbag that day, but I had to cycle home the other end when I got back from London. And when I walked in, a little bit tipsy, bedraggled, having cycled a mile and a half home, my husband's like, what? I mean, he's used to this now. I'm like, two totes just going, oh my gosh, I can't believe I made it home. And I jingle jangled all the way back.
Yeah.
I got some funny looks in London, but I'm like, don't worry. It's my business.
It's going to be amazing. And the worst thing is, so like from my experience of taking cans home from when you're somewhere, like open cans is like, no matter how much you try to empty everything out in that can, it's never empty. So I can only imagine what the state of your tote bags must have been like as you got on the bike, cycled home, and then managed to make it through the door with your tote bags full of empty cans.
I am really pleased to say that none of them were dented as well.
Hey, that is clap worthy. I am impressed. That is, I always manage to have at least like one, but for me it's okay because I'm like, I'm just taking the labels off of it and then recycling the can, whereas it sounds like your process is obviously you're cutting it and flattening it out on the metal still, so that is extra impressive that you managed to do that.
Oh, it is a lot of fun because it starts so many good conversations about it. And as well, kind of leading on from that is when I was chatting to North last year, it was their collab with Bundabust with the tiger on it. And they're like, we must have these. But they said, you should get in contact with our designer, who I kind of found through Instagram. And it's not happened loads, but a few times the graphic designer has got in touch with me and they just think it's amazing to see their artwork reused, because you see in a lot of merch kind of you can get prints or t-shirts. I love that. I love just kind of doing full circle and keeping that art going. So
I think not enough people, like, I know Joe and I keep labels, I keep it like religiously, but to the degree that I have two piles, one which is like new labels and one which is like second or third, like multiple time labels. Because I think, like, because for me I go, these are the ones that I can kind of expend a bit more to do something create, like in my brain I feel like I want to do something creative with them. You're actually out there doing the creative thing. In my brain I'm like, I will do a creative thing. And it never happens. So, but like, I will keep those labels religiously, and it's just like, what, like, not enough people I think keep the labels.
So many people like you, I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to. So just before Christmas, someone who'd met me at a craft fair, she wasn't a beer drinker at all, but her husband had got various subscription boxes and had two black bags full of cans that he'd saved for the last 3 years. I said, please, can you take them out of my house? So he never got round to it. And yeah, we took them home, and I think we kept 80 of the cans and binned some because either I'd used them before or I knew they wouldn't work well. So yeah, there's plenty of people who were hopefully going to do something, but you hear of people using their labels to cover mirrors or home bars.
Yeah, that was the thought for me, is I wanted to cover a tabletop and all that. And then the reality was that I just never made the time to do it. And then I was just like, maybe if I use this label and then I change my mind or I don't want this, I was like, I want to wait until it's something that I know for sure that I want to keep for a long time. So I never did it. So I can imagine how a graphic designer might go, like, it's nice to see it being used in a way that you can see people reusing over and over and over again in a really creative, different way than a bar top or a tabletop or covering a fridge or a mirror. Like, that is, I think we all have that, like, oh yeah, we can do that, and we never get around to doing it. Whereas like, what you're doing is so creative and so different, but like a way that you can still display the artwork. So what you just mentioned about some of those cans that you can't use because you might have like used them before, for example, like, will you say, oh, I'll only do one, is it one label that you'll do of it or one run of it? Or like, how does that actually work?
I think because there are so many cans out there that I try to kind of almost just do one. But like I said, kind of with this collab again, one, I'm going to rave about it because, A, it was an amazing beer.
It was a great beer.
And it blew my little mind. But I have got the Elusive that they'd drawn it, taken it with, so in a bracelet, so you can see where it had developed. Oh, yeah.
That's really cool.
So I really like that. But, yeah, this went so well. And because it's local to me, the Radio City part, I think that's when people found it interesting. There's an Attic one as well that I've brought on to show, which is so popular. And Kathy from there has asked me to make more. We've arranged to get more down. We've even visited their tap room to stock up. And Stokely's not close to Essex. So the kids loved that trip. So you kind of more at, if it's been incredibly popular or someone said, I love that one, can you get hold of it again? I will. But I think there's just too many beers out there. We rarely drink the same beer twice because it's just, it's too much. But like with a good book, sometimes you will go back. Because a few tap rooms are stocking them now, so I'll redo those ones. But even within a brewery, they'll have so many one-offs that I don't always keep it to the core range, but obviously some people, like with your Steady Rolling Man, you got it because it's so clearly Daya, but you don't necessarily always know, because like you were saying, Jo, although that can is brilliant, sometimes it won't translate.
Yeah.
You won't know, you won't pick up and go, oh, obviously that the Smalls one that I had, because the detail just gets lost sometimes. So.
Yeah.
I think, to be honest, like, even the Daya one I got, I didn't get it because it was Daya. I enjoy Daya, but I didn't even get it because it was Daya. I got it because I really like the musical element of it. So, like, even adding one more layer to it is, you know how you were saying, it's like someone that likes jewellery, someone that likes beer, or somebody that, you know, likes the idea of the recycled aspect of it, or all three. I think there's even, like, within labels, what's amazing about labels is, like, you can even capture people's other hobbies as part of it. So like what you were saying with Easter. So I know, like, when I, like a few years ago as well, there was a brewery that was doing like an Easter set where it was like a rich luxury chocolate stout, and they paired it with a local chocolate company to get these like nice Easter eggs. And like, you can get so many themed things for holidays. So that's one aspect of it, is you go, let's go holiday appropriate, or let's go hobby appropriate. So anyone that loves music, like Steady Rolling Man, you don't have to love Daya or know about Daya to go, I really like music, you know, my friend plays guitar, I want to get them something that is encompassing all their hobbies, this is a great one for it.
That's happened so many times with me actually recently. It's so at Christmas, a few friends approached me saying, I'm wearing this outfit, or I've had my colors done. Which I don't really know what it is, but it's a thing that some people do. So I can only wear these shades. Actually, the Attic one, a local networking group of ladies, bought them for each other as uniform.
Because I love their colours.
Some people say, actually, marine biologist comes up a lot. My friend, my daughter, sister is a marine biologist. So have you got any whatever? So a lot of people try and find little bits like that. So some of the more coastal ones do really well. So it does happen so much. And I've had like done custom things. So I don't just do earrings, although I haven't got any with me because they're out in stockists. The bracelets, like you mentioned, I've started doing brooches, pendants and cufflinks.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. So another local brewery to me, Datum Attitude, on the coast, and they have a lot of military aeroplane and coastal pictures from just a few miles down the road. So I made the brewer and his dad some cufflinks because the sister-in-law hadn't realised I'd been in touch with them, but saw me at a different craft market, said they're going to love them, commissioned me to make some and did them for Christmas, having no idea that I'd already been in touch. But it's like, I have to get them made for my family, and it was absolutely brilliant. So it's led on to wanting to make more that anyone can wear if they wanted. But
That is really cool, because I don't think I've even seen your cufflinks or anything, because that was going to be, you know, I can't wear earrings for, you know, anyone that sees me knows I've got, you know, gauged ears. I can't wear proper earrings. So I love that you had like the bracelets, because I was like, I can get the bracelets, like that's cool, and I can still wear it, and that's amazing. I didn't even see that you had done cufflinks, and like that's super super cool, because like you could think about giving people ideas of, you know, if they are getting married, for example, and it might be someone that's super into craft beer, like that is a really great gift you could get somebody for a wedding even.
Yeah,
like,
I'm terrible. I only got married 2 years ago, and at the time I didn't wear any of my own earrings, and I could have telephoned them. Very naughty. yeah, people have said, oh, I've got a this theme or a that theme, but I've tried to kind of, over the years, is I only started with two shapes, and people, I want bigger or I want more textured. And there's not really many people to compare myself to, because there's no one in this country, I don't think, who's doing exactly what I do. There's a lady in Canada, so we quite often compare notes, because we're very unlikely to ever cross paths, or our beers cross paths.
Yeah.
So yeah, when they say, like with flesh tunnels or stretched ears, I've started doing hoops, like with closures on the back, so they can fit through. And yeah, with cufflinks and brooches, it's just, I don't have pierced ears, can you do this? So I've tried to develop, and I don't want to do everything, because it's impossible. Yeah, I try to draw on what people have asked for, and plug a hole where there's a gap. So yeah, the cufflinks, I am going to be doing more. But a local stockist said, I need more of these in. So all of them have gone into there, which is like a local creator's shop. It's actually in my village. It's a tiny village.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but there are a couple on the top of my Instagram feed at the moment, my most recent one. So people will be able to have a look.
I love that. We're obviously going to link all that.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at a label and deciding whether it's going to be right for what you're doing, what are you looking for on that label?
So sometimes it's repeating patterns that can capture a lot of. Some people like very matchy-matchy, and some people don't mind that it's clearly from the same can. A few people have said they want completely out there, one of each. That's fine, but I'm not separating them. You'll have to buy two pairs. So some will be incredibly, I'm trying to spin them around, incredibly repeated. And so it doesn't necessarily matter where I cut it from on the can.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes a really bold pattern, but like your smalls one, I might go for the lightning bolt, which is a much bigger shape of earring that will take in more of the label that's on there.
Yeah.
But like with the star details on that can, it's lovely, but unless I have two cans of it, I might not be able to capture it. So if I'll either try and do deliberately different or get two cans, which sometimes, especially with impies, you're probably not going to do.
Well, I was going to say, that's my question. That's sort of like a side tangent from Joe's questions. Like when you're buying, but obviously you've got this in your mind, but like, do you ever kind of go, I only want one of these. However, in order for me to do something with it, I have to get you. Cause I feel like we will go, we really want to try this beer, but like, oh, I can't really justify it, but it's for the podcast. So we have to do that. Do you kind of go, I really only need one of these, but it's for the jewelry, I must have to.
It's for work.
Yeah, we've definitely done that. I think it was Father's Day last year, and my son had said, oh, what do you fancy? And he's like, I'll get you some beer. Well, I mean, he's 10, so I got it from him. But I just kind of said to my husband, like, what do you fancy? He's like, I suppose there's three, but I can't really justify guessing. I think one was the triple putty. And then he names a couple of others, but I'm like, looking at the cans, I can make something out of that. So I got him all three, and he's like, oh, you're naughty. I'm like, don't worry, it's fine, it's for the jewelry.
It's for work.
It's not about you. So yeah.
does that mean that he's not precious sort of like about the labels? Because like I think that the hardest part for me, and it would be interesting to hear your take on it, I think the hardest part for me would be like, I love how beautiful the labels are. I would really struggle to part with them, to like make the art and then part with them. Do you ever have that struggle of like, this label is so beautiful and I'm going to make this thing with it, which is really cool, but also I really love this label. Like, have you ever had one that you're like, I cannot turn this into something, I want to keep
it? There's some Polly's especially have got amazing cans, absolutely amazing. And so it's really hard to ever get more of them because they don't really have a core range, do they? They have just so many patterns going through. And there's a giraffe one. I love giraffes. And big giraffe print, but it wouldn't transfer at all, no matter how big I cut them to make the jewellery. So it's still on my shelf waiting for me to do something with it, but I think I might like cut the top off and do succulents as like succulent planters.
I've definitely done that. Or a candle. That's like the two options. I've tried candle making. It's not, kudos to all the people that make candles, and kudos to the people that are creative and make stuff in general, because I see things like, oh, the succulent planter, and I'm like, I'll try my hand. I think what I really love about having you on as well is Joe and I are creative people, and I, you know, my brain is creative, even if I don't make the time to actually put that creativity into a thing. But sometimes I go, oh yeah, I think I could do that, and then I realize very quickly I cannot do that.
I've tried a few things that have failed. Some of my range that I was sure I was going to put on, and like, no, that's not going to work. But luckily, like you have both seen my display. But my display at events is two palettes cut in half, and I have a display of the cans at the top. So my ones that I absolutely don't want to part with, I often have on there, either kind of, it might be a show-off bit. It's like, yeah, we had the triple putty. But it's a talking point. Or it might be a can like that and go, it's never going to be bearingable, but it's a good talking point. And it, whether it's at the beer festivals or a craft market, it makes a good connection of what my jewelry is made from, because people can be standing there for 10 minutes and still not have a clue what I've made the stuff from, but enjoy it all the same. So yeah, I definitely, there's more I want to try, but I don't know if I'll ever get around to it or if it'll work. So there's those cans that will stay on the shelf because I'm fearful of ruining them.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Just in the sense of, I'm like, I don't want to take any risks with this. This is like just gonna go right here. We're not even, because we've all had that situation where we've like tried to take a label off and it's completely written, and then you're like, oh, that was the most beautiful label and it's gone. And then now if it's anything that even as I start going, it looks like it's not gonna hold up, I'm like, and we're good. I'm not trying any more techniques with this. It is just gonna stay. We'll turn it into a planter.
Yeah. It's a shame people don't use pens much anymore, like pen pots. It's something fun to leave it on your shelf.
That's actually a good idea as well, because I've got like a little mini waste bin looking thing that I got from somewhere for like 99p, because I was like, I've got all these loose pens and I'll chuck in there. Should have thought about it. I'll just use one of the really, really pretty labels. Yeah. Like one of the cans of the pretty labels, and I'll just
use that. Enjoy it longer. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So shapes. How do you, so is, does the label dictate the shape? Does the shape dictate which label you use? Is it a little bit of both?
A bit.
Are there shapes that you're like, yeah, I'm not doing that shape because that was a real nightmare?
The lightning bolts have been really popular, but they are my longest ones because I hand cut them.
I was gonna say, do you hand cut them or do you use like
a cutout thing for most of them? So
for consistency you'd kind of have to some degree.
So the pinch shape I've got in are just a circle that I've pinched for top to make it more 3D.
Yeah.
So sometimes I will kind of use an opposite pattern or think how it might curve. What I think people are going to love as well, they don't necessarily love. And equally ones that I think, oh, I'll put them out, but I don't know if they're going to go, have shot off the shelves. So it is hard. And some of the older people at craft events, like my mother-in-law loves coming along with me and showing them off to her friends, but they like the small dainty ones. So some of the patterns aren't going to to go. So I try and get the boldest ones on there. Yeah, like I say, the lightning bolts can encapsulate as much as possible. Or I might try and do the multiple shapes to get more on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of, yeah, whatever, whichever cutter comes to hand or what I've got kind of empty in my stock. So
okay, yeah.
I try and do, of a can, I'll try and do a variety. So they're like, I like this, but the heart, and I can try and have a delve and go, yes, I've got it.
Nice.
You mentioned about people, you know, you having getting requests from people. So like if somebody had a label that had like sentimental meaning to them for whatever reason, they were like, I really, really want this in it. Could somebody get in contact with you and say, oh, I'd really, really love this. Either you come up with something or this is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I've done that a couple of times. Even though I call myself like craft Beerings, a few people have said non-craft. And I've done one at my Monster Can.
I work with someone that has so many monsters per day. I work in IT, a day job, and I someone that is like almost exclusively drinks Monster, and that is incredible. Like that, I love that. Just for that reason, it makes me think of him.
Yeah.
No shame. There is no shame here. It's a safe space.
Drink what you love. If you love Monster, you love Monster.
Someone wants it so much. Someone else said, "Can I have it?" So. Done it twice, but same can, because they love Lewis Hamilton, and there's the Lewis Hamilton one, and very much like you, Tori, they had it on the shelf for ages. Her cat knocked it off, dinked it, and she's like, it's not pretty anymore. So I made it into jewelry. I made a bracelet which had his helmet on, and then earrings that weren't necessarily obviously Monster, but she chose the shape and the color bits. So yeah, I manage that, and other people like, yeah, I want this colour in this shape, and I'll try and make it work. So yeah, it has happened, and I can definitely do commissions for people who, if I can get hold of a can, I can do it. So yeah.
So if somebody was like really looking forward to, so say I was like, oh, this can, really love it, it really. So the one that I'm wearing now, I want to say this is this a Verdant one? I think. I don't know, this is upside down, but it's like a, it's a face.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah, that's the Verdant.
Yeah. I feel like that's the Verdant. I feel like it's a Verdant one, and I got it because that's the way it goes. It goes that way. Yes. I can't twist my arm that way. But I got this one because I was like, as an elder emo myself, I was like, this face is great. It's got like, it's got those dark like vibes, and I just loved it. And so this can, this Elusive and Baker's Dozen can, I'm like, oh, well. Yeah. If I in my brain was like, I would love to have this dude or person on the label, on a piece of jewellery, would you say that there's like a specific size in terms of like centimetres that if someone goes, I love this label and I love this design, that it should be within roughly a certain size? Or can they just kind of give you anything and you'd work with it?
It's about an inch is ideal. Because most of the shapes, whatever shape they want, can encapsulate that. Or if it's narrow, I can do the lightning bolt. So that man might fit in a lightning bolt, or I could edit my stencil. But speaking of Elusive, the Glog one that they did with their faces on.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay,
like, I love that. Please tell me
you did these earrings when you went in.
No, please tell me it was like a three set of like all their faces on it.
It was her and her dog.
Can I get some jewellery with Bert on it? Because I just look like, oh my god, I could get cufflinks made for Rick. My husband loves Bert. I'll be like, can I get some Bert cufflinks, please? And that would be
absolutely
amazing.
She didn't know I was doing it. So, like, she likes my jewellery already. So we'd been chatting for a while about it, and she flicked her and went, is that my face? There it is.
I feel like everybody should have something. I mean, with Ruth's face on it, fine. I love you, Ruth, but yeah, okay, fine. But everyone should have jewellery with Bert on it. Like, that is... I feel like Bailey's that is what the world
really
needs.
Jealous if you get Rick Bert cufflinks.
I came home after having a cuddle with Bert, and Fallon was like, you were out all day. You smell like another dog. This is rude. And I was like, it was Bert. So I'm sorry.
So mad at you.
No, that's good to know. So roughly, so if somebody wants something sort of like commission, they should think roughly, if they want to have the most ability to kind of, have the most diversity of what they do, they should probably go with about an inch, or if it's like a bit longer, they have to think about what shape it might be effectively, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So the hearts I can kind of do, I've got this one, the triple one can go along, but obviously it's going to cut out part of the element. Yeah. So if it was the person. But yeah, most of the shapes I don't go much bigger than that, because unfortunately, like where we talked about the dinking, also with a label, it can pull the label. I've nearly had tears so many times if it's pulled a label and it's done. You can't really come back from it. The bigger you go, the more the label's likely to pull as well with the cutting process. So
obviously with these cans, you've cut the cans and then you've sort of like cut out the shape of it. Like, would you ever, do they always have to be sort of on the can, or could you take the label? If somebody like myself who collects them on paper was like, I really love this label and I want to do something with it, is there anything you can actually do for people that are like me that want to see that on jewellery? Or is it kind of like you really need it to still be on the can for anybody that's considering
still on the can? I haven't diversified that much yet, because also when you've taken off the stickiness, because sometimes when the label bubbles as well, and that doesn't work, just because although I have seen paper jewellery that other people have made, the metal gives it that stability. But yes, got my brain worrying of what else I can make now.
Oh, now I'm like, oh, I need some rings, like, you need some like ring bases going, like, I would love that. That is more my, I don't change my earrings out that much for obvious reasons. It's just a hassle, because then at the end of the night when you've been out after a long day, when you've got like mine, you don't really want to leave the earrings in because they pull. And if you've been out on a day drinking session and you're like, I want to wear my earrings out, the last thing you want to do when you get back is like, remember to take the earrings out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what else do I wear?
Yeah.
I probably wear rings and like bracelets more. So the second I was like, bracelet, I was like, yay, this is great. But like necklaces are like, every time I'm like, I'm perusing, like, is there a necklace? Is there a ring?
Yeah,
I have made
a couple. But it's hard. Like when I start to extend the range, people go, well, what about that? But in this brewery.
Yeah.
Obviously I can make too much. But I don't have as much stock at an event. Plus it's more time consuming, so the earrings I can make fast than the pendants, because it involves drying time and stuff. So yeah, but I love making commissions when there's a story behind it. It's just lovely to create for people.
What's the best story you've had from a commission so far?
That's a really good question.
I think it's the monster can. I think,
yeah,
it's not even,
I really like that one.
I'm afraid that's the best.
Yeah,
it's not even beer related.
That's all right.
What was the can that you were, that like first got you to be like, I want to make jewelry out of this? Like, what was the first one you saw that you were like, this is the one?
I think they were Magic Rock. There's some Magic Rock ones because they're so bright and vibrant, and I did,
and the patterns as well.
And Siren, because the swells and the stuff, I loved those.
I've literally just taken a sip of my second beer and I've got a Siren Caribbean chocolate cupcake, because I was like, the Caribbean chocolate cupcake, the Caribbean chocolate cake cans are so pretty that would make great jewelry.
And although they're not very repeaty, they're still obviously they're from the same can. So the Siren ones are really, really popular. So just the swirliness.
They always use really, really lovely patterns on it as well. Like, yeah, I can imagine, even when you've got two very diverse earrings, like if you've got two that are the separate, they, because they still have the same colour theme, the same type of sort of like lines, they could be different patterns, so to speak. They're not identical, but you can still have a cohesive theme to it, which is really nice.
I think with the way my head works, I always keep them from the same can, even if two Siren ones work well together. And I just... it agitates me, I think, if I mix cans.
Like, you'll know.
I was about to say, have you had any like two cans, you're like, oh, that one goes really well with that one, would you do them in?
Oh, definitely. I'm sure they do. My sister made me she often comes along and helps me at events, and she did mix them up, so she just kind of got to play with my cuttings and yeah. make her own, and that was fine. It's like pick a mix, but yeah, I'm not doing that event.
I was gonna say, to be fair, is that something you'd consider where you'd yeah. be like, I've got these and you can pick and mix which one do you want? But like, obviously that might be quite stressful to do at an event, but like, would you consider kind of doing that on like website wise or something, of like, I've got these shapes and these shapes?
I definitely could. It'd be a brilliant pick and mix opportunity. It's just at events it tends to go a little bit mental, and although I have done I haven't got my ears pierced, so I can do clip-ons and I change them over, but it always happens when I'm busiest. I'm like, yes, I'll do that. But and sometimes my risk is as well at the beer festivals is if I've had a beer, things get wonky.
You're like, I can change this over for you, let's do it. Come on.
I can change this over for you, but disclosure, I have
had beer. The boys at that London Craft Beer Christmas craft beer festival I did, the boys at the Brixton bar were going absolutely nutty over them, so I was making them for them on the break, and they were just running back going, oh, they're amazing, look at them. But yeah, it was later on in the night where it was just getting more and more exciting. I'm like, I don't know how straight these are gonna be, but it's all right, I love them. Yeah, it was being somebody's request, and that was a brilliant one.
I love it. Yeah, like I just picture people like at the beer festival being like, I've just had this beer and I like this label. Can you do this one? And you're just like, what? Have you? Has someone literally come up to you at a festival and been like, I've got this?
Yeah. I'll often take some basic shapes at least. And because it's a Christmas one, I had the Christmas cutter. So yeah, I could do them. Yeah, it is quite good fun at Bristol. I was running low on stock, so I was running around. Not many people had cans, but I was like, please, you're gorgeous, I love that one. Yeah. So even like, when I didn't need more, I'm like, oh, I must make more.
That's such a souvenir. Like, you're like, yeah. So I not only did I buy a craft beer can piece of jewellery, it was the can that I had at this great event, and I watched the lady make it. Like, that's amazing memories.
I wish I could do that more. So I do try to take stuff to events and be making it well so people can see the process a bit as well. It's just time restricted sometimes, so yeah.
Is there any labels that you have seen that you were like, I normally wouldn't have bought that beer because it's just not to my taste or whatever, but you were like, that label though, I need to have that?
Luckily my husband's more of an IPA or an ale, I'm more of a sour and a stout. So we've got quite a broad
spectrum there,
like of them. But yeah, we've definitely had some. It's like, it doesn't matter what that tastes like. The can's so gorgeous. I can't remember any off the top of my head, and it'd probably be rude to say, but there's even a few pourers where it's like, doesn't matter, the can's gorgeous.
Well, I was going to say, I thought about my initial question when you were talking was like, have you ever had any that you were like, that's gorgeous and I don't even care what's in it, open it, pour it, have that label? But I was like, I'm not going to ask that question, but because you've just offered that up, that is great.
Yeah, it'd be awful to name names because that's just not fair.
Because sometimes, because to be fair, we'll be fair as well, sometimes it's not even about like the beer itself, is it? It's just sometimes like not your taste, and if you need to, especially for how you make them, where you need the whole can, it's not just to take the label off. It's not like you can go, I'm going to take the label off, stick it to a piece of paper, and then someone else that it's their taste buds, they can have that. Like, you might open it and go, I'll give it a go, and then you go, oh, it's not really me. And you know what, you've tried it, you've given it a go, you've decided it's not for you, and then you also get the pretty label out of it, so
And we've kind of almost on the flip side of that is if you're in a tap room or a bottle shop and there's so much on offer, I just can't decide, at least we can go, well, we'll just pick it. If something's got to help you decide, we'll go for the label, because I'll be able to make use of it. So we've done that on the flip side.
I'm so glad you've said that, because I've had that conversation with people so many times with people, like when I go into places, like there have been times I've gone like to somebody behind the bar, just like, oh, just get me whatever you recommend. Like, oh, what do you like? I'm like, I like everything. And they're like, but really? And I was like, but really, I like everything. And there's numerous things that I think sound really nice and I can't make up my mind. So you just pick. Or like, I will go, I know that people hate that. But for me, I'm like, I actually genuinely don't care and cannot make up my mind because I want all of them. And I might only have time for one. But it, equally, I've done the same thing where I've gone into bottle shops and I've been like, I can only take so many home. I have to be good, but all of them sound really nice. So I prioritize the ones that either have a fun name or label Magpie. They look beautiful because I wouldn't overtly go for that over something that I think I like the sound of the tasting notes better. But if I can't make up my mind, I fully go behind like what is the best looking label or the coolest name or the funny what name makes me laugh the most.
I think so many people do that. My husband loves a pun, so
me too.
He will always know. He's the one who came up with my business names. He's like, well, clearly it's gonna be Beerings then, isn't it? So, there's quite a few, none of my brain's gone blank, but there's quite a few that really have good puns, so almost certainly be drawn to those ones.
But even ones that don't have puns, like Sure Shot did, I'm okay, thank you, Susan, which made me laugh. So, and they've got little robots on the label. This is like from quite a while ago. And there was like robots on the label. And I said, I'm fine, thank you, Susan. And I went, that makes me laugh. And I don't know why, but it sounds familiar, but I can't work out what it is. But it's just that phrase makes me laugh. And then I got home and I realized, my husband went, that's a Red Dwarf quote. And I was like, of course it is. And those robots are knockoff Scutters. and it made me laugh even harder once I realized like what that was. But it was just because I was like, the randomness for me, because I couldn't work out why it was familiar initially, it was like the randomness of these robots. And then it said, I'm fine, thank you, Susan. And I went, I actually don't even care what this bit is. Like, I'll drink whatever. I don't care what the beer is. It's got me. I was like, I will have it because it was a label and name collaboration. And I was like, I will have it. But if it comes down to it and you had to pick, would you go for a really good name or a really good label?
Oh, I'd go label. But my husband would go the name.
Your husband would go funny name. And then you'd be stuck in an impasse and then you'd have to get one of both because that would be what would happen with me.
How much time do you think you've spent stood in front of fridges picking out beers?
That's a good question.
Too much.
Too much time.
Way too much. Sometimes if we're in a new town or city or just grabbing them, my husband like, you wait outside. I'll do the buying. Sometimes I go into Two Brews in town just to look. Like, I've got no intention of buying because the fridge is full. Partly to say hello and just go, oh, it's beautiful.
I wish I could say I didn't know that feeling. I always am like, I'm not buying anything today. And then I go in some place and I'm like, I bought something. And then I come back and like, Rick's like, you weren't buying anything. And I was like, I may have bought one thing, but it's for the podcast. Or I'll just be like, Joe got it and then gave it to me. Like, obviously.
That's not always true.
He doesn't know that and he won't listen to this anymore.
Our husbands don't listen, so we get away with a lot.
They don't know. Although Rick did tell me the other day, he was like, you know that I basically don't have to listen to the recording because I hear you. And I was like, he goes, it's only one half of the conversation, but I can work it out. And I was like, cool. How involved does like your family get in what you're doing? Like, do you do it completely by yourself or do you ever get their input in anything that you're making?
So Pete will, my husband will often say like, you've got to do this. So he geeks out at different hop mixtures and what the brewery's bringing out at the time. He had his own Instagram for what he was like to log what he was drinking. But he had to stop it because he realised how much he was drinking. But he still remembers so much. So it's brilliant when he's with me at the beer festivals because he can tell the whole story. I might remember the brewery, but he'll remember the beer, when we got it, what it tasted like. And I'm like, too much information. So he'll sometimes like do some research for the event and who's going to be there. Like, we have to do this because they're most local. My son, who's 10, is quite creative as well and just loves getting involved. So he's sometimes practiced. Unfortunately, I let him go on a Polly's can once and nearly cried when he went, "Oh, I did it wrong." I'm like,
"Mummy, like that wasn't the can. That wasn't the can to try."
And then my daughter, she's 3, so doesn't often get involved. Sometimes I give her like a pair of pliers to make her feel involved. But we were playing word association in the car the other day, and it came up with something like jewelry, and both of them went, "Bearings."
That's amazing. I love that.
They think that it's as commonplace a name as, you know, it's like a brand that everyone should know.
Yeah,
it is definitely a brand that everyone should know, like, let's just say that. Oh, yeah. That is great. Like, I absolutely love that. Have you, so obviously you came up to Elusive, mm-hmm. and I think you popped over to Siren as well, because obviously they're on the same estate, and that was for when they did like the official launch in January, and I got to see them, and that was really great. Have you gone to other places specifically because you were like, "Oh, I want to go," like, was it a good excuse to be able to like, "I want to travel to that brewery because then I can see what they have, and that's also for like a work thing," but like really it's just because you wanted to go visit?
We do quite a lot of beer tourism. We've got a map with like pins in of where we've been, so sometimes we use it as a beering excuse and it's work, but sometimes we're like, "Oh, we've got a free weekend, so let's just, where should we go, who have we not tried, who's within a kind of radius that we can get there and back in a day?" Because my daughter, the 3-year-old, has been to, I think Beak was her 30th taproom. Seeing as she was born in the first week of lockdown.
Really cool,
that's
though.
Awesome. Yeah. And that's just tap rooms. That's not including bottle shops. It's like, yeah. So we like that geekery.
Yeah, but I love the idea that your kids are growing up around that because it just normalizes it so much. And I think, like, I hear things like in the US where it's, "Oh, why are people bringing their kids to a tap room?" So, like, I find that at least our tap rooms over in the UK are quite family friendly. Absolutely. Where it's like, you know, you come in knowing that people are probably going to use adult language and there's, you know, that is what happens there, but like they are actually very inviting, family friendly. Like, nothing should be happening there that can't really happen
environment. Friendly, because they have games quite often, like board games. I mean, Elusive was the best one.
Elusive's got the video games. That's not limited to just children as well. Like, I will say, we've tried to get on the leaderboard. Rick has successfully got on the leaderboard before getting kicked off.
My son was like, "Oh, yeah, but 10-year-old doesn't really want to go. If it's not Wi-Fi, I don't want to go." But he walked into Elusive and his eyes just went, bing. So, yeah, I mean, it does give us an excuse to travel and go to tap rooms. But I think, even if beerings had never happened, we'd still want to do that. And it's been brilliant because through events, I've got to know either the brewers or some of the staff. And it is great to catch up with people because it's such a friendly community. But when we popped into Beak, we met up with Seb, and it was just lovely because we'd seen him at an event a few months before. He's like, "Mate," it's just absolutely brilliant. So yeah, we love it. Although, we've got nowhere that's not work related on the calendar at the moment. It's a bit disappointing. Yeah.
But at the same time, like, does it feel like work when you're like, "Oh, I get to go"? Obviously, like, there's going to be elements that feel like work, but on some level, do you kind of go like, "I'm really excited to go here and I don't even care that it's in a work capacity"?
Absolutely. I've got a festival coming up, which although my sister's going to help me for a little bit and doing it on my own, but I know it's not going to be like going to an office for 12 hours straight. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to meet loads of great people, hopefully drink lots of good beers as long as people bring them to me.
That's why you need the second person, so you could be like, "I need a beer." We go, 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 go.
My brother's going to come up and visit. He's like, "Oh, I don't really want to sell. I'm not very good at that." That's fine. You bring me beer.
It's the most important job.
My family are ice cream men, and so one of the jobs when we used to go to events with one or multiple ice cream vans, one of the jobs was either moving the mix between and the stock between vans, or getting them drinks, yeah. getting them lunch, or if you weren't careful, then you did get carted into it. It was like, right, I need to go for a wee, so you need to come and pull the ice creams while I go. My husband's been very lucky in that he hasn't got involved in it, whereas my cousin's husband has very much been embroiled in all of it. But it's a good job that my husband didn't get involved in, because he is terrible at pulling ice cream. They end up like down the side of the cone rather than on top of it. So I was like, and at one point I was like, are you doing this on purpose so that you don't get drafted in?
Right. So we're approaching the end of the time, because we're conscious that we gave you, like we said, we just wanted an hour of your time. And I feel like I could ask you a million more questions. But I don't want to keep you you're very busy and I don't want to keep you for longer than I need to. But what is next for you? Like, is there anything that you really, really want to try doing that maybe you haven't done? If a brewery wants to get in contact with you to like maybe commission something for their brewery, or a person wants to get, you know, in contact with you, like what kind of things do people need to make sure they're doing to be able to have something commissioned with you? And equally, what is next for Beerings and the stuff that you want to be doing?
I think what's next is just carrying on. Like, this last 18 months has been brilliant, and it's carrying on with that, but still a good balance, because I've got two kids. They're both starting both primary and secondary school this year, so I know I cannot overload myself. I've been shortlisted for an award later this year. The Essex Small Business Awards. So I'm mega excited about that, and hopefully that's going to be a bit of a launch into awareness raising for other people. So that's in April, and voting's still open, which links in my—
I was gonna say, can people vote? Can you give us a link so that we can share that so people can go vote?
So yeah, that's pinned on my Instagram. But very much keeping on the same, is there have been a few breweries who've commissioned me to do stuff in their tap rooms, or if they haven't got a tap room, they still just love having them in their own ears. So if anyone wanted to do that, it's most craft beers like this anyway, as long as it's not plastic wrapped cans, I can do something with it. So it doesn't matter if it's a label, it's just not plastic wrapped. And yeah, if they can get the cans to me full or empty, and then we could do shuffling around like that. And yeah, if they want specific shapes, specific styles, I can get that done. Yeah, I've got a few beer festivals coming up this year. The Chelmsford Craft Beer Festival, arranged by Hopsters, on the 16th of March. I'm personally not going. My husband and my sister are running the event for me. So I've got a birthday party to go to. and Brew London are the two that are in my calendar at the moment. So whether customers or beer lovers want to come and say hi, or brewers, it'd be absolutely great to see people. Because I just love making connections in the beer world.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been really, really lovely chat, and I feel like I could talk to you for ages and ask so many more questions as well, and I appreciate you giving us your time.
It's been great to be on. Thank you.
Hopefully get to see you soon.
Yes, definitely. See you both again.
I really love that we are able to showcase women in beer who do other things than just beer, but are still in beer.
Yeah, and like the creative element of it is just like, as creative people, or wannabe creative, some of us wannabe creative people. No, it's really enjoyable, and I feel like so easy to have a conversation with, and like always really enjoy sort of like seeing at festivals and be like, oh, what do you have on? And like, I can completely relate to that guessing game that people play when I look at like what's on display and be like, oh, what is this, what is this one, and trying to guess it without actually seeing what brewery it is. Like, that's really fun in and of itself. Should do like a guess that label for like a really, really difficult label. Be like, whoever can guess this first gets a free pair of earrings. It was a really good conversation. I feel like I had so many more questions, but I was conscious that you know, we didn't want to take too much more than an hour up. And yeah, there's just, I didn't want to tangent too much, but there were so many conversations that we were having that I was like, I could easily ask a question that I feel like would tangent, but like, I'm trying my best not to. But yeah, super fun, super exciting conversation anyways. And getting to see the creative process of someone else is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's like, beer is a creative process. Creating beer is also art. Like, that's an art form. But seeing the other creative processes that it spawns, like jewelry from beer cans, there's, you know, people that make glassware, there's people that make tankards.
Oh, just bought one. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I've just bought one.
Get her on.
People that do, you know, make wall art, or the graphic designers that do the cans. Like, there's so much creativity.
The unsung heroes of craft beer.
Yeah, those that create the beautiful artwork that goes on the cans as well. Or, you know, the merchandise, the T-shirts, etc. that we all love, you know. What have we seen? Shoes as well, you know.
Those are more rare things. But yes. Yeah, they are definitely there. The I feel like, oh, I just want to get more people that are sort of that, like, beer adjacent. And when I say beer adjacent, it's not like a knock at what those people are doing or saying that they're, like, what I mean is, like, when we think craft beer and who's going to come on a craft beer podcast, we tend to think like the people directly involved with making or selling the beer itself. Yeah. And I kind of like the taking a step back and going, okay, somebody that's to the side of that, that is doing something very much within the craft beer scene, but isn't making or selling the beer itself. Yeah. Although, like, saying that, you could make the argument of, like, some of the jewelry that's being made, like, might prompt someone to be like, I really like this piece of artwork and I've not seen this before. And who is that? Okay, I'm going to go check their beer out. So I guess you could make the argument it's selling the beer in itself. But I want to talk to more people. So I think if you want to come on the podcast, if you're beer adjacent, or I mean, you're directly beer or you're beer adjacent, we'll talk to whoever. It's no discrimination there. But if you are a person that is beer adjacent and you want to come talk to us, you can email us at awomensbrewpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can just reach out on Instagram at A Woman's Brew or on Facebook at A Woman's Brew. You can reach out to us on X, but we're probably not going to respond realistically. So don't do that. Your best bet is, I think, in terms of coming on the podcast to talk to us or submitting your recommendations for who you want to talk to us, it's definitely, I think, in that instance, like, email first, or tag people on Instagram or send us a DM. Yep. So that first and foremost. If you want to talk to me about all the creative things that I have in my head that I want someone else to execute, because I feel like that's a theme with our podcast, is I always have these creative ideas. And if I can give someone else all the creative things happening in my head that I can't execute, I'm more than happy to do it. So if you want to come talk to me, you can come talk to me on adventures_in_hoptimism on Instagram or adventuresinhoptimism@gmail.com. Jo, if people want to talk to you about the creative things that you actually do put out there, where can people come talk to you?
I actually do creative things. And I have got, like, I mean, this is my beer studio that I'm sat in now, but it is also my sewing and craft room. So there's a lot of things in here. You know, you may have seen on my Instagram that I started making my own dirndl to wear to the hop harvest. So, you know, I do those things.
I want to commission one.
Yeah, I mean,
I need you to make yours first and then I want to commission one.
They take a long time. I've only made the tester to make sure it fits, and it does. I'm excited. I've got a pick hop inspired fabric now. But you can come talk to me about that. And I am Love Beer Learning, and I'm on Facebook, Instagram, X, TikTok and Pinterest, but really gonna find me on Instagram, maybe Facebook. So come find me there, or you can come to my website, which is lovebeerlearning.co.uk, or email me lovebeerlearning@gmail.com. ask me about the creative process, because, you know, I done it.
So there you go, that's everything. Let's go finish our beers and call it a night.
Let's cheers.